So fastest way to change your life is start making some real decisions.
You are not all that you could be.
Yeah.
And as soon as you posit an ideal, you begin to compare yourself to that ideal.
Yeah.
So that's the things that my father and my mother instilled in me. Take a negative and turn it into a positive. Don't be afraid to fail.
Hating on other people who have done the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating on the obstacles in the way of you doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Fantasizing about all of the adoration you'll receive once you do the thing isn't doing the thing.
I am a person that says, you know, as soon as you look back in your history and you come up with something that you feel like you want to change, something else has to change.
Hey, listen, bro. I get it. You're going to step outside the box sometimes, but there's some mistakes that you can make that you'll never be able to recover from. So think about what you're doing before you do them. You need to think about what you're doing before you do them.
I think the things you go through make you who you are. So I don't regret those things. I don't regret them because I don't think I'd be who I am today if I wasn't exposed to those situations.
You can, if you become aware of the discomfort, you can counteract it. But if you're not aware of it, it's just, it's an object you just can't hit. So that changed my life, that question. What is the psychological discomfort I'm avoiding right now?
Just listen to me. The most important thing is this: to be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become.
At the end of the day, the final hour, when everything's riding at the competition, it's the small things in life that will win that, the inches.
All that stuff didn't matter because I was out there for a purpose that I believed in, I cared about, and I was doing it with people that I cared about more than myself. So all those little trifling inconveniences were not even a big deal.
And one thing I learned over and over again from them is the smartest people usually are terrible investors. I said, how could that be?
Yeah.
And they said, because the smartest people want to know everything before they decide. Mm. And if you wait till you know everything, the opportunity's gone.
But I'm suggesting that you operate out of a larger vision of yourself. I want you to see yourself doing what you want to do, experiencing what you want to experience it, having what you want to have, doing what it is that gives your life some meaning and value.
Because if you want to understand why you're procrastinating in some area of your life, the most important question is heightening your self-awareness on the thing that's causing the discomfort. Because in most areas where we procrastinate, we have no idea. We're just avoiding it.
Physically strong, mentally resilient, capable, patriotic Americans. That's what I'm trying to do. I just want you to have accountability. I've accounted for all my failures, all my successes, and everything else in between, and I'll show them exactly what happens when you do it wrong.
He goes through his entire life of randomness, and he gets on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire version in India, and it has 12 questions to make $1 million. And from only 12 random experiences in his life that seemed meaningless at the time, was he able to answer all of the questions and then ultimately win.
One of the things that I really got from that was people think we're motivated by pleasure. And when I sat with Nir Eyal, who wrote the book on distraction and procrastination and why people do it, one of the really key messages I took away was that we're actually motivated by the avoidance of discomfort.
Yeah, can't believe that I'm this strong. They thought they would weaken me and put fear in me by threatening to go to jail and taking my earning power. And they won't let me work in America. The government won't let me leave America where I can work. And I'm getting stronger, and it shakes up a lot of people.
This is watching someone else raise their hand to answer a question that they know the answer to. And that means that person deserves to be ahead of you in life, because your fear of being wrong at that point is not allowing you to create your value in the workspace.
And so basically the only thing that you have to do to stay in business is to choose to continue to fight. And so once you realize that, then you realize that you become a success the moment you decide you are, because being successful is far more about being in the game, about being in the arena.
Here's what I realized, ladies and gentlemen. We only have enough energy to take us to a certain level, but it's necessary that we assemble ourselves with other people who share our vision, other people that can see it for us, to give ourselves a home court advantage.
You know, it's an idea that my grandmother always had, that if you're going to be here, then there's a necessity to make a difference. She always instilled the responsibility, the spiritual responsibility that you have to make every group you come in contact with. But
I am trying to live the actual life that I think I should be living, that translates all the positive stuff I'm trying to put out. If you saw me and I was 50 pounds overweight, at a bar, drinking my 12th beer, talking about mental health, you wouldn't take me serious.
Always said, take a pause, before you make a decision and say, what if? And the purpose for saying what if is that whatever decision you make, always either gonna have consequences, either pros or cons.
No, but no matter how talented you are, your talent is gonna fail you if you're not skilled. You know, if you don't study, if you don't work really hard and dedicate yourself to being better every single day, you'll never be able to communicate with people, with your artistry, the way that you want.
You can also retreat into yourself and you can say something like, all right, I need to retool my conception of strategy, but also potentially my conception of goal. Well, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. Maybe I have to look somewhere else. And you can open yourself up to a revelation.
And when you're willing to go as far as further than the other guy, you always prevail. You always end up on top. It's like the kid in the schoolyard that doesn't want to fight always leaves with a black eye, because as soon as the other kid identifies he doesn't want to fight, he hits him.
So the question then is, can you believe in a future that you can't see or experience with your senses yet, but you've thought about enough times in your mind that your brain is literally changed to look like the experience has already occurred?
You're not masters yet, but you're here to become masters. And then she says, but in the process of accrual to mastery, you need to learn to be uncomfortable. You need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And you need to be in a space where you allow yourself to be challenged, but more importantly, in a space where you are willing to be uncomfortable and grow.
It wasn't about the money, it wasn't about becoming famous, it was just about doing something we believed in. And for some reason, I had this belief system that I had to take that risk and go out, and I thought I could do it. I remember being 9 years old, looking in the mirror going, Mom, I look like this, don't I, in the Muscle magazine.
You know, disappointment to me, to win, you gotta lose. To be successful, you gotta have something that's not successful. To be happy, you gotta have disappointment. So I think all of those things have evolved and happened to make me who I am.
See, the way in which we operate, ladies and gentlemen, it's a manifestation of what we believe, what's possible for us. Whatever you've done up to this point, all that it really is a duplication, it's a reproduction of what you believe subconsciously that you deserve and what's possible for your life.
I really believe decision-making is the most important thing. So if you don't like your body, change it. If you like your relationship, change it. Maybe change you first, otherwise you'll just trade people and have the same problems, right? You know, you don't like your career, change it. But for things to get better, we gotta get better. For things to change, my teacher, Jim Rohn, said, you gotta change, right? But it all begins with a decision.
Preparing to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Scheduling time to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Making a to-do list for the thing isn't doing the thing. Telling people you're going to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Messaging friends who may or may not be doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Writing a banger tweet about how you're going to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating on yourself for not doing the thing isn't doing the thing.
But the more decisions you make, the faster it gets. I think the whole idea that I have to make the right decision is the wrong way to look at it. My whole view has been not deciding is the worst decision. You need to consciously decide, if I don't want to feel like things are affecting me, if I'm going to shape my world, make a decision. And if I'm wrong, I'll find out quicker.
The secret to success, here it is. Success is earned by hard freaking work. Hard freaking work. If you ask the circle of champions up here, how did you do it? How did you get to the top? How did you become so successful? Their answers are always going to be three words, hard freaking work.
So most people try to create a new personal reality as the same personality, and it doesn't work. We literally have to become someone else. In other words, thoughts are the language of the brain, and feelings are the language of the body. And how you think and how you feel creates a state of being.
The only thing that is doing the thing is doing the thing. And I love this insight that you can dress it up however you want, the work just needs doing. And you can fluff it and you can change it and you can talk about compounding, but ultimately it comes down to sitting at the desk and answering the email, opening the Word document, recording the podcast.
It's also clear that reflection on what you were doing at some later time, just kind of like post-learning reflection, walk into your car, sitting on the plane for a second, thinking about a podcast you did earlier or something you heard or a discussion, strongly reinforces the memories and the ability to work with the memories of new information.
A long time ago, I don't know when, but a long time ago, I figured out, you know what? That thing doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry about it. That thing doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry about it. That thing doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry about it. That thing matters. I'm going to focus on that thing. And that makes a big difference. It's leadership capital.
But the effort was there, and the learning curve and the passion was there that has transcended not just to me, but to other people who are afraid to do things because they're worried about the perception that may come from other places. To me, that's more gratifying than anything, you know.
You don't try to build a wall. You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm gonna build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm gonna lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
Well, if my SEAL career had ended with a mistake, I would have figured out what my next mission was going to be. That's what I would have done. I mean, I would have said, okay, I like that job. I failed at it. What can I learn from that? And what can I do next differently to make sure I don't make that mistake again?
I wanted to come in the league and I wanted to win multiple championships. You know, and, you know, as a young kid, it's like, well, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to win, you know, 5, 6, 7 championships because, you know, that's what Magic did. That's what Russell did. That's what Jordan did, you know. And I feel very comfortable with my career and what I've been able to accomplish in that regard.
I have nothing else to gain. I beat the best German they had to offer, the best that Canada had to offer, England, the best that America had to offer, 2-time United States Golden Glove champion, AAU champion twice, Olympic gold medal winner, defended the title 9 times, predicted the rounds on my opponents, wrote poems in poetic fashion, how they would fall, and I cannot go no farther in sports.
A lot of us, we waste our time, we waste our money, and we don't connect what we're doing right now with what's gonna happen in the future. That is not a good policy to have. What we wanna do and what I try and instill with kids, with my kids, with kids that I talk about on the podcast, is I wanna connect what decisions are being made right now with decisions that were with the end state that you end up with.
You're going to be searching for the errors that you still made, and discovering your own errors is always extremely painful, right? Especially if they're errors that you're in love with. And so you have to be willing to strip yourself down. That's what humility means fundamentally. And then, but the advantage is, this is why it's so useful to listen to people. You might find out where you're stupid, and then you can stop being stupid.
Well, you always just kind of step out there and play fearlessly. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, players get nervous, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a big stage. You know, it's kind of the all or nothing thing. And, you know, as a leader, you have to be able to suppress whatever nervousness you may be feeling and step out there and perform. And, you know, a lot of times that puts your teammates at ease and you know, allows them to perform at a greater level.
Yes.
Like, we wait till we have absolute certainty. There's no absolute certainty in life. The only absolute certainty is faith. You know, it's like, how do you drive down a street with nothing but a yellow line separating you from crazies driving at you at 65 miles an hour, and every single day in every country in the world, in every city in the world, someone will cross that line and kill someone because they were drunk, because they fell asleep, because they're texting. And yet, how do you get out there every day without fear and do it? You use a gift that God gave us. It's called faith.
Al Pacino has a great quote in Any Given Sunday that life's this game of inches. It's this split seconds. You know, from the past being complete or not, the whole opening, the inches to make that happen, those things that he says they crawl for, they fight for, they die for, to win the game is also the difference with living and dying. It's that big.
But I have an important question for you, and that is, why are you not right now more successful than you are? Because let's just be honest with each other. Your current results are really only a fraction of what you're truly capable of achieving. That you are far more talented, you have far more potential than your current reality? Why are you only living up to a fraction of your potential?
So imagine your plans didn't work out. Okay, now you sit down and you say to yourself, I'd like to know, even if the world was conspiring against me and my failure was 95% the fault of external occurrences and other people, what did I do that wasn't as good as it could have been? And where did I fail to look so that the probability of my failure was higher?
Greatness is not this wonderful, esoteric, elusive, godlike feature that only the special among us will ever taste. You know, it's something that truly exists in all of us. It's very simple. This is what I believe, and I'm willing to die for it. Period.
Just like a true champion doesn't just exist in the arena, but exists everywhere else too. Those moments and inches that are won at the final hour that make or break a win or a loss aren't discovered there. They're discovered through thousands of hours in the training lab when no one's watching. Do you get up and run at 5 a.m. when it's pouring down rain?
I see people getting...
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Caught up all the times in little things that will not affect the outcome unless they let it. So I see some white belt below them in the chain of commands going all crazy, grabbing their sleeve, and this leader on the top like gets concerned about it and puts time and effort into something that doesn't matter, whether it's a little personality rub, a little ego uprising. It's like, should we do it this way or should we do it that way? It doesn't matter.
Like, I wanted to be good at everything I did and be great at what I did, and I never expected to be as good as I was. So it would just be such an interesting relief to be able to give myself to be like, you are going to be great. You're going to have all these things that you want, but you're also going to realize that they're not as important as you think they are. You know, like, you're going to come to the realization where the relationships and your values and everything that you enjoy and the experiences, everything, aren't going to come down to those spectacular moments on stage at the Olympia. They're going to be much more simpler than that. They're just going to be those moments where you're being yourself, and the people who love you for that is going to be everything.
I was willing to put the time in and spend 30, 40, 50 years in the business. That's what I wanted it to be, and you know what? It became what I wanted it to be. It became what I expected to have happen. When you believe something and you put the energy out to the world, to the universe, you get it back. I really believe this. I don't know, I can't, you know, I'm nobody special. I'm not somebody that's, you know, anybody, any different. Most of you have more talent than I do, okay? I'm not any special person. But I believe that if you gave this energy to the universe, it would come back to you.
There's a quote that I love from Dr. Cashy. I'll probably butcher it, but experts have more ways to win than beginners do. And so if an expert goes into any setting that they're expert in, they have so many faster feedback loops that reward them in the moment before the ultimate outcome. So if you're a master video editor, there's so many things that you can do that while editing, you make one change and then it looks right, you have a positive feedback loop. And so I think when you're on the start path, you can't look at the outcome as the only positive because you will never make it.
I learned from my experiences of where I failed. And I would also take the positive things that I learned, because even that failure is a positive because you realize the value of the opportunity that you had and you blew it. And you're like, okay, I'm never gonna let that happen again. Lesson learned. I'm actually stoked I get to learn that lesson. Because there's going to be more opportunities that come up in life. And you got to make sure that you don't disregard those opportunities when they come up.
The skills that you develop along the way, like Steve Jobs learning calligraphy that then became Apple fonts that, you know, transformed how we type. Those early days, that little trench winning in the weeds, oftentimes gives you these huge advantages later on because you have more context than anyone else. And so rather than lament them and hate the fact that you're going through it, remembering that these will be arrows that you put in the quiver that you're going to be using to slay the future bigger dragons. And so expecting it to be easy is what makes it much harder than it ever is.
Every man in himself is aristocratic, that he is his own king. He takes a sojourn into the material world, has to climb up all the different runs on the ladder, and ultimately has to return to himself. The significance of the extraction from the sword from the stone is the stone is the material world. The material world, which seems all solid because it controls you whilst you're projecting your sense of identity upon it, the extraction of the stone is taking back your own authority, your own divinity, your own authority, your own identity, whatever it is that you've got to call it, your own power. You're no longer looking for a sense of self outside of yourself.
And my father, he was infamous for one of his coaching philosophies, and that was no matter how hurt a player got on the field, they were not allowed to come out of the game. So one time in the middle of this American football match, this linebacker just gets smashed in the middle of the field. I mean, just devastated. And he wobbles to the sideline and he begs my dad to take him out of the game. And my dad grabs him by the face mask, clenched teeth, spitting through it. And he says, "Not unless you're showing bone." And he pulled back his shoulder pad, and out from his neck skin was sticking his collarbone.
Most people live in the fixed mindset. The fixed mindset is, this is who I am. This is what I know. This is what I'm capable of. This is what I'm good at. And this is where I'm going to stay. The growth mindset says the following. It says, this is where I am now. This is what I'm good at now. But I recognize that if I go through a particular process, I can grow myself and become a better person. Now, here's the thing about the growth mindset, which most people miss. There is no destination if you're a growth mindset driven person. There's only the next location.
One of the things I taught my kids, and I hope at least somewhat successfully, was that you should always ask a stupid question. And that doesn't mean the sort of question that someone who wasn't paying attention would ask. If you're listening to someone and you don't understand what they're saying, and you reveal that, you're revealing your ignorance, you know, and maybe you're in a room full of people and you think you're the only person stupid enough to not get it, which is very rarely the case, by the way. The thing is, though, if you reveal that ignorance to yourself and to the other person, they can rectify it. And if you do that 1,000 times, you're not ignorant anymore. And this is a real pathway to success, too.
How do you build a muscle, right? You put a muscle under incredible stress and strain, incredible stress and strain. When you do that, you're actually tearing the muscle. And in rest and recovery, it grows back bigger than it was before. So now you can lift heavier weights that you couldn't have before. So the first key message that I want to give you here today is your adversity is your advantage. And that your past, whether you had a terrible childhood or whether you've suffered from some difficult experiences in life, you should cherish those as your advantage, because that was the training that gave you the muscle development to go do extraordinary things that ordinary people just can't do.
You can decide in the moment. The reason I make that commitment that when I'm in the moment, I do something that commits me when I leave that moment, you get in state, you get inspired enough, or you get pissed off enough, something moves you and say, not another day, not an hour, I'm changing this, right? But then when you leave that moment and you get caught up with some meeting or something with your family or something in your social media, email, or whatever it is, gradually you're in a different state and then you don't fall through. And what you said is true. Something else comes up that you weren't prepared for. So a real decision, the word decision comes from incision in Latin, which means to cut off from. When you cut off any other possibility except what you committed to, you'll find the way. So I always tell people, if you want to take the island, burn your boats. As long as your brain has a way out, it'll go back. And it's amazing what you'll do when there's no option to go back. Most of my career has been because I had no net. You know, where's Serena Williams? And I got to turn around right now. She can't get on. Sister died. She can't get on the US Open. She can't get on stand up. She can't get up to do anything. Everybody knows I'm working with her. If I don't get her up, the whole thing's over. Get her up. I turn the president around. I do whatever I got to do. I eat, no matter who it was, with no net, you find a way.
I've had this idea about protect your passion at all costs, because if you
if you begin to hate the thing that you do, you negatively change your trajectory. And that means that at the time when you can benefit the most by every single unit of work, which is the later that you go, presuming that you continue to hit that upward trajectory, if you've completely killed any passion or desire to do the work in the early stages because you've not protected it appropriately, that can be by focusing on the wrong things, by not rewarding yourself, by not building it with people that care about you, by, you know, just not celebrating when you hit milestones, all of the things that actually help to keep you going.
Being a character.
By the time that you get to the stage where each unit of effort allows you to gain 1,000 or 1,000,000 of each of the things that it would have done at the very beginning, you've inverted the passion equation. It takes way more energy to start a thing than to continue doing a thing. And yet, in the beginning, the rewards are way lower than they are at the end. But if you don't protect your passion, your motivation is at its lowest when you are at your highest amount of efficiency in terms of returning your time put in.
So I want you to truly, today, stop it. Stop looking for the quick fix for success, happiness, and wealth. There's no shortcut. There's no cliff notes. There's no quick fix. You are going to walk through a minefield day in and day out of hard freaking work, because success is earned one day at a time. Every day you lift your head up off the pillow, you're gonna decide whether that day you are a success or whether you are a failure. You're either moving forward or you're falling behind. One step at a time, every step you take away from the bed as you walk through your day, you are either going in the direction of success or you're going in the direction of failure. It is one decision at a time. All day we're presented with hundreds of decisions, and every one of those decisions is like a chisel mark on a marble of on a slab of marble. And at the end of the day, you're either going to end up with the David or you're going to end up with a pile of rubble, depending upon the decisions you've made throughout the day.
I think a hopeful message that anyone can think about who's in that hard period or in that start period is that it won't get harder. Like, this is the hardest part. And so if you can just make it through this, everything else is downhill. It's not that the things that the dragons are going to slay aren't going to get bigger. They are. But you become so much more equipped to slay them back. And you have so many more allies. You have people in the stands cheering for you. You have the audience. You have all of these other things that are behind you. But in the beginning, it's just you with a stick against a bear. And arguably, that fight is a harder fight to win than beating a dragon when you have a nuclear bomb and six nations behind you. And so it's not even like the size of the hardship. It's just also the resources and how few of them you have, and how so much of the beginning is literally burning the one thing you have, which is time, because you have no leverage. You don't have the money to pay other people to help you. You don't have the resources to go get someone no one can learn it for you. It's like there's a lot of the things that we care about a lot. Like, no one can work out for you. Doesn't matter how much money you have, no one can learn skills for you. And so in the early days, like, it feels so painful because you're like, you look around to see who can help you, and then you're like, fuck, it's me again.
Because that's a small step of what the big steps become. If you shortcut the simple, easy ones, how are you ever going to complete two from start to finish, the ones that really matter? It's a champion's mentality that isn't turned on and off. It's switch, guys. Guys, this doesn't work in life. It's either on or it's off. It doesn't go back and forth. These things I call momentum builders. Because imagine, like, in life, right? When someone dies, they look back at their accomplishments, those big, great, monumental boulders they move, right? That they're known for. On a daily basis, you can't move that boulder. You can push it all day long, but it's years of training to become a pro athlete. Years of training to win the Olympics that we're gonna see this summer. Years of training to become that doctor and the lawyer. To become a great actor. All these great professions that we see at the end state with their hands held raised in the ceremony and the winning the awards. Years in the making, right? Those big boulders are those things that they remember for. But every single day, you can't move. You can't create that. How do you create it? It's the small pebbles below the boulder, the foundation of that you can move each day. And you do it right. You pick the picture frame up and you do it right.
When the ego makes you believe you're the best, well, you become complacent and fallible. When the ego makes you believe you're the worst, guess what? It doesn't help you grow. It's the honest introspection, the honest assessment that we all need. Hey, this is what I got right in the interview, but you know what? I didn't really nail these three things. You're now not assessing it as you. You're assessing it as something you took part in.
The reason I think that cynicism is so popular on the internet is that the upside of never trying is never having to feel the pain of failure.
Yeah.
That's fundamental. It's sour grapes at an existential level, right? It is a cynicism safety blanket. It is protecting you from ever having to feel the downside of anything. I will assure my own failure in private so that I never have to face my failure in public.
You take a picture of yourself on day one, you put it on the mirror. That's who I'll never be again. That's day one. Say goodbye to them. Behind that picture, you write down your weight, your height, all your information, your body fat. Tape measures around your arms, your waist, your thigh. Record where you've been. Because when the struggle gets hard and you feel like you're not going anywhere, you go back to that day one and re-measure and go, it's working. How about them apples, man? I'm on set. I'm on path. I'm actually achieving something. It gives you confidence to continue the journey.
We go left and we wonder why we haven't fulfilled something in our lives. It's because we continue to take the journey that is mapped out. And how I look at it is I talk in life like a lot of us in life want to take the 4-lane highway that has roadmaps and all this other stuff on it, man. It tells you where to go, gas stations. The next 10 miles up, you can see a McDonald's or Cracker Barrel. It's the easy route. Very few of us want to go to the right side.
And they think that more, doing more things, is increasing the probability of success.
1,000%, where it's the opposite. It's the opposite. It's the thing that you actually thought of that you are going to put 100% of your mind and focus into to complete. And then after that, you're able to pick it apart and take the good, the bad, the whatever, and either restart that thing again to improve it or make a decision to do something else, but you finished.
I didn't care if I died or lived because I was, for the first time in my life, happy.
Wow.
And at peace, because I reflected back on where I started.
You said, wow, I have come a long way.
That's right. And no one saved me. It wasn't like someone came down here and guided me through life. When you figure this out on your own, the amount of pride and dignity and self-respect you have, that's why I walk around the streets with a backpack and just like, I don't need anything else.
You could be the boss of your job. You know, if you're working in a grocery store, or you're working in a convenience store, assuming you're not working for terrified tyrants, you can be nice to the customers. You can develop your social skills. You can learn how to handle a boss-employee relationship. You can be there 15 minutes early and leave 15 minutes late. Like, you can learn in an entry-level job, man. And I'll tell you, if you take an entry-level job and you learn, and it's a reasonably decent place, you will not be in an entry-level job for long.